Hey, good morning. I'm so excited to be with you guys this morning. Before we get started, you probably noticed there's a table in the lobby, and that's just a way for anybody who is interested after church to connect with our ministry in some way and get involved. You can come out there and see us. The most popular one is to sponsor one of the orphans in our care. And so you can pick out a little sweetheart. This one's Daylin. She's recently in our care. She's actually named after my wife. And so the ones that have the red background are our orphans in China, and the ones with the brown background are our orphans in Ethiopia. And so we have five orphanages in Ethiopia, one in China, southeast of Beijing, in the city of Langfang. And so sponsorship is $40 a month. It's tax deductible because we're a nonprofit. If you choose to do that, then you become our partner in transforming the life of a child. We ask you to take one of the dolls that's on the table as our gift for sponsors. And these dolls are handmade. So the Chinese dolls are handmade by deaf Christians in South China in the city of Kunming. And each of them is in a different costume for the different ethnic groups. This guy is Tibetan. If you go to the Tibetan areas of China, you'll see all the guys walk around in this or one other outfit. They always wear the same thing. And then our dolls, and we have dolls that are handmade in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. If you would like one of those. Another way you can do that, if you'd like to be a part of our work, but you can become a Harmony partner, and that's not a sponsorship, it's just a blank form. That one's $20 a month. If you do that one, then we ask you to take one of the bracelets that's on the table. It's our, just signifies your membership in the team. I wear mine every day. This particular one is from Cambodia. And so you see all the colors, that's the wordless gospel. So many of the countries that we work in, you know, the people don't know the first thing about Christianity. They really don't know anything. And so, and often they're not very educated, so you explain the story of Christianity, which is the black before Christ, then the blood that makes us white, our growth in Christ, sanctification, and eventually our glorification. We have bead bracelets from Ethiopia, the metal ones are from Tibet, and the jade ones are from China. Another way that people often are interested in getting involved in our work is to find out about adopting a child. So all the sweethearts we have in our care at Harmony House are all needing forever families, and we just have families adopting from us all the time. In fact, our most recent newsletter that just hot off the press out there, we had five just in our November newsletter. And so if you are interested in adopting or you know somebody who may be interested in adopting, then please come and talk to me about that. I myself have adopted two special needs children in China, and as a missionary living by faith with no support, so I have walked this journey of faith. I would love to talk with you about that. And then the final way that you can connect with us is to consider taking a missions adventure with us. We're regularly taking teams all over the world with us. We usually do two or three trips per year. Our next trip is Cambodia in March. And then after that is Ethiopia in May. The Ethiopia trip is kind of an elaborate trip because we go into Ethiopia, do our work there, and then we spend a few days in Istanbul, Turkey. And then there's an optional excursion for anyone who's interested. They can go into Israel with us because it's only a two-hour flight from Istanbul to Ben-Gurion Airport. So in one trip, you can see Africa. And half of Istanbul is in Asia. If you go over the bridge, the other half of the city is in Europe. Asia, Europe, Africa, and Israel in one trip. And so we call our trips adventures of biblical proportions. And so if you're interested, we'd love to have you join us on one of these overseas adventures. Well, those are all the ways you can connect with us. It could be you're interested in just coming and talking to me about the spiritual principles we're going to talk about today and how those intersect with your life. If that's you, then I believe God has brought me here to meet you today and talk with you. I'm very excited about that, and I want to build some time. Now, a lot of times it's hard for me. You know, I run out of time, and there's people queued up, and so I don't have a lot of time. But I'm local. My office is like 1 mile that way up when... Winchester, and then I live in Canyon Hills. So, in this particular speaking engagement, I am local, so I can follow up with you later. Well, I wanted to share with you guys a little bit about my story. God has radically rescued me in my life. He has radically delivered me. And then I'm going to share a little bit about our work. But if you're really paying careful attention, you'll soon realize that the object of this message is not so much about me and our ministry at Harmony Outreach, but it's really about you and your life. And so when I tell people that God has radically rescued me in my life and delivered me, there's often an assumption that people make, oh, I know you came out of a background of drugs and alcohol, right? Or, you had trouble with the police department, you had a long police record. And I tell people that is a testimony, it's just not my testimony. My testimony is that I came from a good family, and I've pretty much been, as far as I can tell, a Republican since I was 7 years old. And so I kind of grew up a little bit upper middle class. Actually, my mom is here today. She's probably out in the lobby. You'll see her helping me at the table. But my folks did okay, and so they taught me, son, if you want to be successful in life, here's how you do it. You got to make a plan for your life and work diligently towards the realization of your goals until you have accomplished them. And I bought into that as a young person. And I was not a rebellious teenager. When I was in high school and my friends were smoking marijuana and doing stuff like that, I wasn't doing any of that. I was trying to get people to vote for Ronald Reagan. And I was a member of the Young Republicans and Junior Rotary Club. So if you guys are old enough to remember that series from the 80s, Family Ties, there was a character on there, Alex Keaton. That was me. And so actually that whole series was based off of my life. You guys may not have realized that. But so I listened to my folks, and it worked. By my early 30s, I was an attorney working for one of the top law firms in Washington State. It was actually the largest firm in Vancouver. And I was a captain in the Army Reserves. I was actually in the first Gulf War, Desert Shield and Desert Storm, and so left the service to the rank of captain, but I was a JAG in the Army Reserves. And so I tell people that, I had a brand new beautiful home in the suburbs of Vancouver, and drove a sports car to work every morning. My wardrobe's all Nordstrom's because I was working for a fancy firm. And if clients came in and to meet me for the first time, I would say, well, listen, before we get started, would you like some coffee? And if they said yes, then I would ask them, well, what kind would you like? Because my firm served three different varieties of Starbucks. And so I tell people that my life was kind of like a 7-Up, that you open up the cap and leave it on the counter for 4 hours because it was sweet, but it was flat. And I remember at that time my older brother coming to visit me, and he was a missionary in Russia at that time. And he came and told me stories about how he just came out of the sewers of Moscow because that's where the orphans go in the winter to stay warm. And he'd share stories about how he went to a Russian women's prison and shared the love of Christ with these inmates, and a 23-year-old girl coming and weeping on his shoulder because somebody came to that forsaken place with a message of hope. And I could not help but draw a comparison between his life and mine. I had achieved the American dream, but Wes had abundant life in Christ. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, it's easy to remember, John 10, verse 10, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. I was at church a couple of years ago. My pastor was going through the book of John in an expository fashion. He got to this section. As you know, the New Testament was not originally written in English. It was written in Greek. And so he went back and did a study on what does this word abundant, that's translated abundant into the English, what is the idea that's really trying to be conveyed from the Greek? And the answer is super added, remarkable, further beyond, uncommon, or superior. I have come that you might have that and have it, might have life and have that, have it like that. And I really love that about the Lord. We always think of Jesus in the sense that he came to be the Lamb of God that takes away our sins so that we can not go to hell but go to heaven. That's true. But he also came for the stated purpose that your life on the earth could be remarkable, radical, superior, further beyond. He intends that. That's his plan for you. And so it was for me. I remember, after Wes came, I could not help but draw a comparison between his life and mine. And I said, God, that's what I want. You only get one go around in life. If you live the average age of an American according to actuarial tables, you will live a bit over 78 years. That's the average age of an American. And that is the period of your sojournage on the earth, described in the scripture as a vapor that is here for a moment and then it is gone. And what I have discovered is that most Christians, and I'm talking about Christians here, spend their lives chasing things that will not matter 24 hours after you die. 24 hours after you die, nobody is going to care what brand of car you drove. Nobody is going to care how high you worked up your particular particular organizational ladder, what education you have. You're not going to get to the kingdom of heaven and everyone's going to welcome you in and then they pull you to the side and say, I got to ask you, did you have granite in your kitchen? No, that's not going to happen. In the book of Isaiah, it actually says, when the new heaven and the new earth come, the former things will be forgotten. They will not even come to mind. And so we get off track chasing things that won't matter. And that's a little bit about my message today. Because God radically rescued me in my life. He didn't rescue me from the wrong side of the tracks. He rescued me from the right side of the tracks. But He rescued me nonetheless. And I'll be very honest with you. I'm earnest when I say that I would not trade places for anyone in any place. I would not rather be a country western singer, like Jason Aldean or something like that. I would not rather be a millionaire or a senator. The life God has given me hits that special place for the way He wired me. It's what He intended for my life. And so it will be for you. Like when you really step out to follow the Lord by faith in your life, whatever that means for you, you're going to find your purpose in life. And there's no substitute. People will often ask me, John, don't you miss being a lawyer? And don't get me wrong. This is not a story like, oh, I hated my job and I just couldn't wait to get... No, I didn't. I like being a lawyer. And it was intellectually stimulating work. I was respected. Judges referred to me as counselor. Financially rewarding. It was exciting. I was a litigator. And I say that because I didn't realize until I became a lawyer that there's a lot of kinds of lawyers that actually never go to court. I was not one of those pathetic estate planning guys that never go to court. You know, one of those transactional poopies. No, I was a litigator. And so I had trials before juries. And even with my time as a JAG in the Army Reserves, criminal trials, very exciting. And people say, don't you miss that? No, I don't miss it. I'm quite the opposite. I am very cognizant that the life God has given me is so rare, so radical, and so beautiful. And I come here today as a prison break artist, wanting to break you guys out. That's the full 50% of my calling. I'm aware of that. 50% of my calling is what you saw in that video. That is helping the vulnerable and spreading the knowledge of Jesus in the darkest parts of the world, the most unreached parts of the world, what is called the 1040 window. If you don't know what that is, you can go look that up on Google. But that's the most unreached area of the world, marked by repressive governments, poverty, and just a complete, by and large, lack of knowledge of Christianity or Jesus. And so half of my work is spreading the knowledge of Jesus and helping the vulnerable in the 1040 window. The other 50% is what's happening here today. I'm here... God sent me here to talk to you guys about your life. And I've experienced this over and over because God calls me to speak in many places. And all these names will pop into my mind as I'm talking to you about people that I went and I shared. And a certain number of people in the audience, they got it. They tuned in. They turned on. And their life really changed dramatically. And so... my brother was an influence in my life. He was not the only influence. Another influence in my life for this big course correction was Corrie Ten Boom. So now I want to ask you guys, if you've ever read any books by or about Corrie Ten Boom, raise your hand. How many of you guys have read Brother Andrew's book, God Smuggler? There's always less on that one. That book is radical and intense. And then the last one I'll ask you about is how many of you have read or are familiar with George Mueller's biography? And so in each case, these are very dangerous books. These are books that, you know, you can just turn your life upside down if you're not careful. In each case, these are ordinary Christians that had an encounter with Jesus that took their life from ordinary to a word that we say in English called extraordinary. And so Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian, and she lived during the Nazi occupation of Holland. Her family were very strong believers, and at great risk to themselves, they began hiding Jews to save their lives from the Germans. Hence the name of the book, The Hiding Place. They built a secret wall in their house that if the Germans came, they'd take the Jewish people that were living with them in secret, and they'd go and they'd close the wall, and you couldn't discern it from the outside. And they saved a lot of Jewish people's lives until a Dutch collaborator turned their family into the Gestapo, and Corrie and some other members of her family were sent to concentration camp. And so when you read her book, how she went through Ravensbrück concentration camp and how God met her, and he caused a miracle, so she was released, and this little old lady went around the world with this message that Christ is victor. There is no hole that is so dark that Jesus' love does not penetrate. And it's just beautiful and intense. I mean, I'll share one story with you. She's in the concentration camp with her sister Corrie, and they have all these, the Nazis don't give you enough food. That's why you see the pictures of concentration camp survivors. And so they had this little bottle of vitamin water, and every day they take a few drops, and it would give them the nutrients that they weren't getting from their starvation level diet. And the other prisoners saw them taking that, and they said, "Can I have some of that? That, you know, would like sustain your health." And Corrie wanted to say, "No, we don't have enough. I mean, this little bottle, it won't last a week if we start giving it out to everyone. It'll last a few days." And her sister Betsy was so kind-hearted and sweet, she said, "Corrie, we just can't say no." And so anybody who would ask, they'd give them some of that every day. And that bottle never ran out the entire time they were in the concentration camp. You see, when you read these stories in the Old Testament, in the Bible, "Oh, that was for biblical times." No, no, guys, no. That's a model for how it works today. There's so many radical promises in Christianity, but these promises are latent, most of them, many of them. And what I mean by that is the promises are out there, and they're fully available. Everything you read about in the Old Testament and the New Testament with the book of Acts, it's just that we have to activate them. And so because I'm an Army veteran, you'll excuse me for using this example, but napalm is a chemical substance, a gelatinous substance, that once it's exposed to oxygen, it will instantaneously ignite. And so it is with these promises, that if you expose them to the right thing, they will ignite. And I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about how that will happen in your life and how it happened in my life. Because when I read these stories, and I'll tell you Brother Andrews really quick. Brother Andrews is a Dutch Christian. Shortly after World War II, God gives him an opportunity to take a trip behind the Iron Curtain, and so he goes to Poland. And he wants to see how the Polish Christians are doing. So what he discovers is that they were under great pressure because the communists suppressed Christianity, as they do today. Pastor Bob and Becky are about to go to Saigon. And the communist government suppresses Christianity. They persecute Christians. They do all kinds of things. I don't have time to go into all that today. And so churches were closed. Pastors were in prison. The Bible was illegal and behind the Iron Curtain. And so Brother Andrew, before he left to go home back to Holland, he was in his quiet time, and God took him to the book of Revelation, and he read these words, "Therefore strengthen that which remains and is about to die." And he took that to understand that God was calling him to support the suffering church behind the Iron Curtain. And so what he began doing is that, like, even to have a few pages of the Bible was something that these Eastern European Christians would earnestly desire. It was like a lifeline to them. And so he would take these trips, and he would surreptitiously, you know, hand out like, you know, 5 or 6 Bibles that he had stashed in his luggage. But over time, recognizing the magnitude of the need, he just realized that was inadequate. He began to get more and more extreme, more and more radical. And I stand before you today as a living testimony and example of the reality of this, that when you step out by faith to follow the Lord, then God will meet you. And there is no end to how surreal your life will get. I mean, I wish I had time to tell you story after story after story about all of the radical things that have happened in my life since I started on this journey. But on one particular story in Brother Andrew's life, he's getting more radicalized, and he's about to cross from West Berlin into East Berlin. He's at Checkpoint Charlie. And as soon as you cross into the eastern zone, the East German guards come out there and they have their submachine guns. And they check your vehicle, and it's a very intrusive search because they are trained that people will smuggle in illegal contraband. When people smuggle stuff that's illegal and they go through checkpoints, they know you can't just hide, you know, the illegal stuff under the seat. You know, no, they have a secret, you know, place in the upholstery built in. There's some secret hidden compartment in the engine well, and the guards are trained this way. And so here come all these vehicles, this very thorough search, and then here comes Brother Andrew, and he's got Bibles stacked to the ceiling in his car, in plain view. And right before his turn comes to cross behind the iron curtain, he shoots out this bullet prayer to the Lord, and he said, "Jesus, you made blind eyes see, and now I pray you'll make seeing eyes blind." And out of nowhere, right when his turn comes, this torrential rainstorm starts. Just sheets of rain coming down so that the East German guards, not wanting to be drenched for the balance of their shift, leap back into the guard shack and wave his vehicle in. And these intense stories, and I'm like, God, that's what I want in my life. You only get one go around. I mean, the American dream thing is okay. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with the American dream. There's nothing evil about it. It's just, I really believe that's the model for the Egyptians. Man, we're not the Egyptians. We are the Israelites. We are God's people. And he has a different thing for us. And I know I'm confusing you guys. What are you talking about, the Egyptians? You know, what I mean by that is that I have come to believe that the story of the Israelites leaving Egypt is intended to be much more than just history. that story, although it is historically accurate, is a metaphor. Because all of us are like the Israelites. We are God's people, but we are trapped in Egypt. And Egypt is a metaphor for the world system. Now I'm going to ask you guys a trivia question. I've already told Pastor Bob he can't, you know, answer this because he's been to, you know, seminary, and that's cheating. But what is the Greek word that is translated into the New Testament as church? Does anybody know? If you know that, just speak it out. What is that word? Sorry? Ekklesia. Very good. And that word literally means the called out ones. That's literally what the word means for what we are. We are the called out ones. And so you can live and die in Egypt, metaphorically, as a believer, and still go to heaven. I'm not talking about salvation here. But it's not where you belong. It's not what God intends for your life. It's not the best. I have come, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, that you might have life and have it abundantly. And when I say these things, please understand, I read about them in other people's lives. I wanted to know if that was true. And I set my heart that I was going to step out and live this way and put God to the test to see if the things I read about in Corrie ten Boom's life, Brother Andrew's life, George Mueller's life, the book of Acts and the prophets, can that still happen today in modern times for a guy who's got a mortgage and kids and just all that stuff, and the rest is history. Harmony Outreach is 10 years old now. Started out in China with no support at all. Zero. And don't speak Mandarin, never been to Bible college, and God calls me to go to China. Now, in addition to China, we have 5 orphan homes in Ethiopia and a big new evangelical outreach in Ethiopia particularly targeting the Muslim community. So we're going into Muslim areas of Ethiopian Muslim villages. In the last 6 years, there have been just under 25,000, not through us, although we're starting to get involved in it, but 25,000 Muslims have turned to faith in Christ. Oh man, this is just too cool for school. And then we moved into Cambodia as the Lord directed us, one of the poorest countries in the world. And we have a work rescuing girls out of trafficking called Esther's House. We have a work for university students where we bring them in and evangelize them and offer them free English and computer classes called our Learn to Work Center. We have outreach in Kampong Chenang Province, and we train indigenous pastors. And then most recently, our work is expanded into Vietnam. And so in Vietnam, the main thing that we do in Vietnam, although we do different things, but the main thing is God has called us and we're training the underground church. And so these people who are called into ministry, you have to realize that in Vietnam does not come from a Christian heritage. And so if someone becomes saved and born again, they don't know anything about Christianity. Or, I mean, like in America, somebody may not be saved, but nonetheless they know about Noah. They know about the Israelites. They know about the Roman Empire. You know, no, they don't know anything about anything. And so they're born again, but we got to train these people who are called into ministry. And so we go into the heart of the communist government, literally most recently into Hanoi. Man, even the Marines didn't go into Hanoi. And we're right there training the underground church. Now, I'm a lawyer, and you guys are all witnesses here, so you are... will bear witness to the fact that Bob and Becky are going of their own consent. This is assumption of the risk. So if Bob ends up in prison for 30 years, I don't want anybody here giving me a sour attitude. You know? But so that's a little bit... and so that is a little bit about what we're doing. But God calls me. I pray God... You know, I guess you called West or an... radical life. You've called me to an ordinary life. So God, give me contentment in the life you've called me to. And the Lord did just the opposite of what I asked. What he did is instead of granting me contentment, he called me out of the life that I had built and called me to go to China in faith. Now you have to go back in time with me. At that time when the Lord called me, I have no support at all. Zero. No church sending me. I'm not going as part of a mission organization. I don't have an organization around me. I don't have the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist. I don't have YWAM or anything like that. It's just me and Jesus. I don't speak Mandarin. I don't have a single person signed up to give me $20 a month. And I have four children. Never been to Bible college. So under those circumstances, the people in my circle of life at that time began to speak into my life. And what they said is, you know, bro, are you nuts? I mean, what are you thinking? You have four children. You're being irresponsible. A Christian man has a duty to take care of his family, and they could die over there. And, you know, just even some, I could drop some names of well-known Christians that counseled me that don't do this. This is not going to end well. Bro, you need to read Dave Ramsey's book about financial planning. You know, and I remember being discouraged by these words and going to the Lord in my quiet time and say, God, you hear the words these people are saying, but what do you say? And that's it, guys. It doesn't matter what the multitude says. I heard it said just this last week, when there's you and Jesus, that's a majority. And so Jesus took me in my quiet time to the place where he said in the Gospels, if any man would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. But John, if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. And I think that a lot of American believers, you know, our lives are okay. Don't get me wrong. But God has got something that's just so beautiful. I mean, it's just so intense. It's the kind of life that you get to the end of your life and you look back and there's just no regrets. There may have been some tough things you went through and some hard things, but the life that you lived was what you were hoping for. And so it was for me. God calls me to China under those circumstances. And as I mentioned, now we are in four different countries. And when God calls you to leave or do something by faith, you will probably not have the resources that you need. You don't have the background that you need. There's a passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. It says, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from the Lord. He has made us competent as ministers in the new covenant. If God calls you, you will have a long list of unanswered questions and loose ends. And if you wait until you get the loose ends wrapped up and the questions answered, you will never go. Corrie Ten Boom asked her father about this principle, and he said, Corrie, when you take a train to Amsterdam, when is it that Papa gives you the train ticket? 2 weeks in advance? And she said, no, Papa, you always give me the ticket right before I get on the train. And he said, so it is with God. And so it is with us. I went to China really in faith with nothing, and now we're in 4 countries in the world, and our work just keeps growing and expanding. So when you choose to leave Egypt metaphorically, you step into the desert place, a place where there's no apparent source of provision, where there's no way for it to work. You don't even know where you're going. All I knew when God called me is he was calling me to go to China. I didn't know what I would end up doing or how it all work out. It's like you're walking in a fog bank that's very thick and all you can see is far enough to take one step. But you take that step and guess what? The Lord will show you the next step. And so he leads you like he led the Israelites through the desert. And a great paradigm shift will happen in your life. When you are in Egypt, your mortgage, your credit card debt, your student loans, that's your responsibility. But when you choose to follow the Lord in that way, Matthew 6 kicks into effect where Jesus said, why do you worry about the things that you need? The pagans are concerned about their mortgage and their student loans and their credit card debt, but you, meaning God's people, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. How's that happen? It'll be added. That's God's responsibility. And as I said, I can tell this from we started in faith and great weakness years ago. We're still in that place now. And so, you know, now the most recent thing is we're in Vietnam training in the underground church. And we need 30 pastors per year, 20 in Saigon, 10 in Hanoi. And when the leader of the underground church movement asked me to start this and asked Harmony Outreach to start this training, it's Pastor Daniel. That's his English name. He's the leader of 6,000 underground churches in Vietnam. And he asked me to do this, and I said, yes, I would love to do that, knowing full well I have no ability to pull that off whatsoever. But, you know, God will raise up. That's the point. When you walk by faith, you get out of the way and let God's strength flow through your weakness. You don't even try to do it. Hebrews 11:1 describes faith. Faith, is, as evangelicals we know, is what saves us. It's not your system of doctrine. That's not faith. Faith is the assurance of what is hoped for. It's the certainty of what is not yet seen. In other words, faith is the ability to believe God when you can't see it. So faith for Noah was build an ark when there's no such thing as rain. Or Sarah, you're going to have a baby when she's, how old was she? Like 90, 100 years old, I remember. She's really old. That's faith. And so I'm excited to talk to you guys today because this church is really special because you guys are getting involved in training the underground church by extension. I mean, you're all in this together with Bob and Becky teaching those two classes, which they are ideally suited for. And, you know, they need your support. This came out of nowhere. They don't have it. Yeah, when God calls you, you don't have it. And I just encourage Bob, bro, you just step out by faith. And once God sees that, when you metaphorically have stepped into the desert place, you've determined to go even before the resources, then the manna will come. Manna as a principle will never come when you're still found in Egypt. It is only comes when you're found in the desert place. And so at Harmony Outreach, we're in all of those countries, and we always have two goals. The first is to spread the knowledge of Jesus, and the second is to help the vulnerable. And so the way that extrapolates itself out looks different country by country. In China, we have many people adopting our orphans. Our most recent newsletter that's hot off the press, 5 just last month for the November newsletter. But we have 5 orphan homes in Ethiopia. We're rescuing girls out of trafficking in Cambodia. There's all these different ways that we do it. But, you know, the I just have to explain it to you this way, that if you consider the case of what it's like for an orphan child in these countries that don't have a Christian tradition in the 1040 window and they're poor, who is going to take care of that child? The government? No, the government's attitude is the same as Ebenezer Scrooge when the people at the beginning of the story, Christmas Carol, they came up and asked Scrooge for a donation, and they said these people could die if people don't help them in the wintertime. And remember what Scrooge said? Remember? He said, let them die and reduce the surplus population. And that is exactly the attitude of the governments overseas. And so if you're an orphan child, some little sweetheart, who's going to help you? They don't have a family. Government doesn't care, and their fate is a very dark one unless somebody chooses to step outside their circle of love and become Jesus to them. And what I mean by that is we all have a circle of love, even as believers. So my circle is I love my family. I love my extended family. I'll love you guys because you're my brothers and sisters in Christ, but you get too far past that. Man, that's social services responsibility. That's United Nations responsibility. That's the Ethiopian government's responsibility. That's somebody else's responsibility. And what you realize, there's nobody. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, the third parable of Matthew 25, that when there's the culmination of human history, at that great event where all mankind is gathered before the throne, and God will separate them into two categories, the sheep and the goats, and the distinction between the sheep and the goats is not that the sheep were Christians and the goats were something else or rejected Christianity. No. Interestingly, the distinction is that the sheep acted in practical, tangible ways of love to the vulnerable that were outside of their circle, and the goats had not. And Jesus will say, as much as you did or did not do it to the very least of my brothers, you did or didn't do it to me. And so when we take in orphans overseas, like I went to China with no money. And literally, I mean, I wish I had time to tell you a story. I'll have to come back and share with you guys another time since I'm local. I'm happy to do that. But what that looked like, you know, how that happened. Like you get there and you have all these kids in your care that are special needs and some of them are very sick and or have diseases, and we have to pay surgeries. How do you do that? That's a follow-on message to this one I call How to Walk in the Spirit. But we take these kids in, and I say life is like a game of cards. You're all dealt a hand. And I know I'm running out of time here. I'm wrapping up. But then you pick up your hand and see what you got. What'd you get? Ooh, I got a good one. I'm going to be, you know, really good looking. I'm going to be super intelligent. I'm going to be have great athletic abilities. I'm going to be born in the United States. I'm going to be born healthy. I'm going to be born to a good family. Man, that's a good hand. What'd you get? I'm going to be born into a developing country with special needs. For cultural reasons, I'll be abandoned by my family and grow up in a state institution. That's what I got. And so what we do is we take these kids and we step into the shoes of their missing parents. We take their problems and we make them our problems. And we come to the rescue in Jesus' name. There is an old poem that says, in the world you may just be one person, but to one person you just may be the world. Praise the Lord. Like, I love it so much when you see those videos that, like, there's been a lot of aspects of my calling following the Lord. He told me it'd be abundant. He didn't tell me it would be easy, and it has not been easy. Quite painful, actually, in some ways, but I have no regrets. It was beautiful and intense, and so it is for you guys. Every one of you has the ability to change the world. You know, change one person at a time. And so, Mother Teresa, you know, she said that when she was helping the poor in Calcutta, which is one of the most messed up, poorest, hopeless cities in the world, she was seeing Jesus in his most distressing disguise. Yeah, amen. So listen, today, since I'm out of time, if you would like to become our partner in Transform the Life of Your Child, you can do that. Come back there and you step onto the battlefield with us. You guys are already doing that. By sending Bob and Becky over there to train the underground church, you're already stepping onto the battlefield with us. You know, it's like you got this small force and here comes this overwhelming horde of Mongolians, and you got the thin line that's protecting the civilian areas behind you, and then people come to fill in the gaps in the line, one by one, taking their stand. That's what you guys are doing. Thank you for that, and we love you. It is exciting. But if you would like to do that, then you can come back, pick out your child. If you're interested in finding out about adoption, I myself have walked that journey by faith, having no money as a, you know, pobrecito missionary. And yet God has saw me through two adoptions and both special needs kids. I've to this day have never spent one cent on a surgery or their adoption expenses. Once again, when you step out by faith, God meets you. If you're interested in going with us on a trip overseas, or if you just want to talk about the spiritual principles that we talked about today and how that intersects with your life, then I'd like to talk with you and meet with you. And if we run out of time today, that's fine. My office is, you know, a mile that way up Winchester. I live in Canyon Hills. I'm local, and we can continue the dialogue later. Now, what I'd like you guys to do is please stand up. Everybody stand up, and we're going to play this song, and this song beautifully sets to music the theme of today's message about somebody who really stops, pulls back, takes stock of their life, and gets it, and says, Lord, give me a chance to make a change. Give me eyes to see the world as you see them. And so as you listen to this song, it can just be a time of worship of you connecting with the Lord. And then the worship team will come up afterwards, and I will be in the lobby. God bless you guys. It's been great sharing with you today.